You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
You're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
Thank you, baby. Well, folks, that was an entertaining Radio Freemasonry episode there. But unfortunately for them, our cadgy man in New Orleans kicked their butt. And when he started asking the right questions, pursuing the correct line, they were reduced to I love it. I love it. Just absolutely love it. You keep listening to The Hour of the Time, and you'll know who killed John F. Kennedy, and you'll know who's trying to destroy all the sovereign nations of the world, and you'll know who's just trying to destroy all existing religions. You won't have any doubts in your mind whatsoever. And to our cadgy representative in New Orleans, well done, my friend. Well done. Okay, starting Monday, folks, we're going to be playing reruns every night while we move the studio. The studio is the last thing that we're moving. And we've got to move it and set it up. We've also got to set up our television facilities. So I don't know how long we're going to be doing reruns, but we're going to be playing the best of The Hour of the Time for as long as it takes to get all that stuff done. So, be patient, folks. And while we're doing that, we're going to keep the seeds open. People are really taking advantage of that seed offer. Remember, it's $48 for listeners, $40 for CAGI members. And we're going to make something else available here. We're going to take the pantry unit. It's a 3 months supply for one person, or 1.5 months for two people. 3 months supply for one person, or 1.5 months for two people. Dehydrated, nitrogen-packed, in enameled cans. It's four cases, 87 pounds shipping weight. And we're going to make that $300 for listeners, $290 for CAGI members. The retail price is $380, folks. So that's $300 for listeners, $290 for CAGI members. The retail price is $380. We'll keep the seeds open, and we'll also make available the emergency unit, 1 month supply for one person. 1 month supply for one person. It's five cases. It weighs 38 pounds. The retail price is $213. We'll make that $190 for listeners, $180 for CAGI members. Remember, these offers will be open the whole time that we're doing the reruns. I'll repeat it again tomorrow night. After that, it will not be repeated because it's not on the tapes that we're going to be playing, so write it down now, folks. And don't forget it. I'll try to repeat it later in the program, but not right now. Just remember, folks, all this stuff about the CIA, the Mafia, the Mossad, these are just smoke screens for the real people. Castro didn't do it. No, sir. It's the interlocking secret societies known collectively as the Illuminati that murdered John Fitzgerald Kennedy. All the symbolism is there. All the links are there. All the stone penises are there. Everything is there that you need to know. the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, Southern Jurisdiction, B'nai B'rith, the ADL, which has links to the Mossad, the higher echelons of the Mafia, which was set up by Giuseppe Mazzini as an arm of the Illuminati, the Knights Templar, the Sovereign and Military Order of the Knights of Malta, and I could go on and on and on, but those of you who have been listening to this program, you know what's happening, you know who's bringing it about, and you know what's going to come of it. And if we don't get smart and band together and quit following these little smoke screens and chasing our tails around the park, folks, they're going to kick our ass. You understand what I'm telling you? So you better wake up. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Was Rhodes Scholar Clinton or Country Bumpkin McDougal the mastermind of Whitewater? Billary, that's Bill and Hillary, have tried to make it appear that James McDougal cooked up the Whitewater scheme and lured them into it. They claim they were passive investors. Come on, folks. Come on, Billary. You guys can do much better than that if you just put your minds to it, can't you? McDougal is a country bumpkin with average brains and little education, a perfect patsy, and so far he fits the bill just right. Falls right into his niche, doesn't he? He's now broke and failing health and living on $750 a month in a broken-down apartment. Trying to tell me that this is the man who scammed hundreds of millions of dollars and he has nothing? Bill Clinton is a Rhodes Scholar, a graduate with honors from Georgetown University and a member of the Mensa Society. He's a multimillionaire who has risen to the most powerful position in the world with the power elite of British Israelism and the Eastern establishment behind him. Doesn't look like it, does it? But they are. See, if they weren't, he wouldn't be where he is today. He's famous, ladies and gentlemen, for his deal-making, which means promising anything he has to get his bills passed. So who do you think scammed who? And if you really think that Bill Clinton is the mastermind, you'd better think again. No king has ever really been the king. The Whitewater hustle came from the power behind William Clinton. William Clinton is the patsy, folks. The scheme was so blatant it's almost difficult to believe, which makes me point to the fact that this was intended to dirty William Clinton so much that he could bring down the presidency and turn the American people against constitutional government. The Clintons put up no money for Whitewater. No money. They had no money. The money came from the real power and the real brains. They invested next to nothing, and even that was borrowed. Their losses are zero, folks. Forget the $68,900 loss they claim. We'll show you a bit later it's entirely a fabrication. And they're telling us McDougal, who used to be a Clinton aide, just gave them a 50% deal in a lucrative land investment for nothing. Just a little favor for a friend? Bullshit. Clinton put up no money, no time, no expertise, not a single contribution. That's not the real world, folks. In a legitimate project, you never take anyone on for free and give them 50% of their business. You put them in because they give you some benefit, or they buy it. But this was not a legitimate project, you see. The whole point of Whitewater and Clinton's and his cronies' other land loan deals was to milk the depositors and taxpayers of millions of dollars, all the while showing a loss or minimal income to the IRS and the public, and to dirty Bill Clinton for what was to come later. The Clintons and their partners, the McDougals, operated Madison Guarantee as their personal piggy bank. They looted depositors' money to pay off Bill Clinton's personal campaign debts and to raise money for his campaign to become president of the United States. After stealing as much money as they could, Clinton and his partners watched as Whitewater went broke. It was the typical Florida swamp deal of the 30s. Nope, it was worse. And don't forget, folks, it didn't just happen here. It happened to savings and loans all across the United States as part of a very careful plan of milking money from the sheeple to finance drugs for arms to bring down this nation and other nations. The Clintons claim they lost $68,900 on Whitewater. If their former partner, James McDougal, and their real estate agent, Chris Wade, are to be believed, they didn't lose a penny. As McDougal put it, "I put money into it. Money was owed me. I don't remember them putting anything in. Quote, I could sink it quicker than they could lie about it if I could get in a position so I wouldn't have my head beaten off," unquote, said McDougal. Quote, and Bill knows that, unquote. Why wasn't this so-called loss ever recorded on Bill and Hillary's income tax return? Bill says it was just an oversight. Well, that's very interesting, coming from a man who took a $2 deduction for his used underwear donated to the Salvation Army. Hash marks and all. Hillary Clinton certainly didn't forget to take a $5,133 deduction for interest on a Whitewater loan she didn't even pay. What's more, the Clintons did list a $1,000 capital gain on their taxes for Whitewater. So what happened to the $68,000 they supposedly lost? Why wasn't that on there? Because they knew that that would ring bells. Between 1978 and 1982, Whitewater generated sales of almost $300,000. Where did all that money go, dear sheeple? Even their real estate agent, Chris Wade, can't understand the $68,900 loss. Wade says, quote, I don't see where they could have lost money, unquote. He also said that Whitewater appeared to generate enough income from land sales to cover its expenses and that he regularly deposited money from lot payments into Whitewater's account. Hidden profits? Laundered money? Disappearing cash? Fraud and deceit appear to permeate every event in the Whitewater Clinton saga, and in fact, Clinton's whole life. Consider an early sale of a Whitewater lot in 1980. The property in question was their prime lot, 28 acres overlooking the White River. The Clintons and the McDougals supposedly paid $882.61 per acre for this property, three times what it was worth, according to one real estate expert, which works out to $24,713.08. But when they sold the lot to real estate agent Chris Wade in 1980, they recorded a $2,000 price for the entire 28 acres on the tax stamps. Wade says he paid $32,000 for the property. He resold it to a Texas couple for about $43,000. By the Clintons' reckoning, the net on the transaction works out to a $22,713.08 loss. But if Wade is telling the truth, and the numbers certainly seem to bear him out more than Billary, the Clintons made a $7,280 profit. Where did that money go? A few years later, Wade was involved in another unusual transaction with the Clintons and McDougals. He wanted to buy Whitewater's 24 remaining lots, but he did not have cash. Quote, I had an airplane and no money, and they had the lots, unquote, Wade said. He ended up giving the plane to McDougal and assuming $35,000 of Whitewater's $100,000 debt. McDougal sold the plane to Seth Ward, who turned around and sold it back to one of McDougal's shell companies, which in turn borrowed the money from Madison. And McDougal pocketed the proceeds. Billary, let me see if we've got this right. Let me see. Let me just sort of check this out here. Let's talk about this and see how it sounds. Bill and Hillary, you buy a piece of property. The bank lends you more than it's worth. You claim you sold off all the best lots for 10 cents on the dollar and the worst lots for 35 cents on the dollar, while your real estate agent is saying you had $300,000 in sales. Of course, you don't keep track of any of the transactions. You don't record the deeds with the courthouse, and the deeds disappear. You can't find the checks that paid the interest on the loans. Your accounts on the project had possibly $1 million or more run through them over a 10-year period. But, let me see. Oh, that's right. You say the money's gone, and you don't have it. How is this possible? No, folks, the numbers don't add up. It doesn't make any sense. That money went somewhere, and Bill, Hillary, and their cronies, and others, unnamed, were the beneficiaries. If you could follow the money, a lot of it you could follow directly to the Drugs for Guns operation run by Ollie North and others, and to the Central Intelligence Agency. Hillary was a key player in Bill's schemes. Hillary Clinton claims she has no knowledge of the savings and loans and McDougal's handling of Whitewater. You're going to love this part, folks. But McDougal says it was always Hillary he contacted to discuss the development. And there are allegations that she had power of attorney, quote, to manage and conduct all matters, unquote, related to Whitewater. She was personally retained by the savings and loan as their attorney, represented them before state regulators, and she was on a $2,000 a month retainer to Madison. But she says she has no knowledge of the savings and loans and McDougal's handling of Whitewater. And Santa Claus is coming back tomorrow. Hillary was a senior partner in the biggest, most prestigious law firm in Arkansas. She got the job when Bill became governor. And from that time on, Clinton funneled huge amounts of state legal work through her firm. For example, her firm got much of the lucrative legal work for the issuance of state bonds that benefited many of their clients. They got the legal work from Madison. They represented the regulators, even against some of their own clients, and they handled the legal work for Lassiter's Bond Company. All unethical, all illegal, all criminal, all, in fact, felonies. If you wanted to do business with the state of Arkansas, it was no longer necessary to make payoffs with $100 bills and paper bags. You just went and retained Hillary Clinton. The money you paid the Clintons to do a government deal was no longer an illegal payoff, but a legal bill. Even better, it's protected under attorney-client privilege, and you can't get better than that. The benefits of retaining Hillary were often ends to the most lucrative government deals, such as the Arkansas development bond issues. Over the decade Bill was governor, Hillary became a multi-millionaire. And it's no wonder. Little partner in a law firm. And how did Hillary and Bill keep regulators from closing an insolvent savings and loan? Well, let's look at that, folks. The regulators knew that Madison Guarantee Savings and Loan was insolvent as far back as 1985. But Bill and Hillary used their political influence to keep the Madison open, and they succeeded for years. After all, the regulators were appointed by Governor Bill Clinton, who was their boss. They did the right thing to keep their jobs. They backed off. What some people won't do for a piddly-ass little job that don't pay anything, they'll sell their whole country down the drain. All their neighbors and friends, people who invested, had their savings in there. But these regulators didn't care. They wanted to keep their little old stinking job. Probably got paid $20,000 a year, which ain't chump change in this day and age, folks. I hope that doesn't insult too many of you, but it's true. It's absolutely true. I never could figure out why people consent to be the slave of somebody else working for chump change when they have the same brain as everybody else who uses their brain. Who's the boss? Who create companies to employ other people? How about that? A 1986 audit by the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, FHLBB, portrays Madison as financially reckless, rife with conflicts, and on the brink of collapse. As they put it, folks, quote, "The problems discussed in this report, conflicts of interest, high-risk land developments, poor asset quality, rapid growth, inadequate income and net worth, low liquidity, security speculation, excessive compensation, and poor records and controls constitute a significant threat to the continued existence of the institution," unquote. My, my. Furthermore, regulators noted that at least $17 million had been loaned out to friends and family at McDougal, who, along with Clinton and his cronies, used Madison as their personal piggy bank. Of course, they all deny any participation or knowledge of this now, and all claim that they don't have the money. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton was claiming to regulators that the savings and loan was solvent, yet she claims she never knew anything about the savings and loan. But it's on record. She even put together a stock offering, which the state of Arkansas approved to bring in millions of new suckers' dollars, and this socialist Marxist twit has you all convinced that she's for the poor person and she's going to elevate your lifestyle and make you all happy participants in the New World Order, the new socialist state. Haven't you caught on yet? Marxists always promise you the moon and steal your underpants. And she's a screaming Marxist. In essence, Hillary was proposing that the people of Arkansas be convinced to use their hard-earned money to shore up an insolvent savings and loan. The woman who claimed she didn't know anything about the savings and loan. The scheme was so outrageous that even Hillary couldn't sneak it by the FHLBB, who killed the deal, and it's on record. 4 years later, the federal government called the plan Hillary tried to push through fraudulent. But do you think that they prosecuted her? No. If this was you or me, if this was you or me, where would we be right now? Why, we'd be in cell block C. And Clinton became president of the United States. And then there's the little matter of Madison's $2,000 a month payoff to Hillary. Madison guaranteed that Hillary knew nothing about. Her husband was governor of Arkansas. She worked for the biggest, most prestigious law firm in the state. Oh, we said that, didn't we? Hillary was the ideal conduit for political favors and payoffs. When Bill did a favor for someone, the payback could go to Hillary. When the state needed outside legal representation, the work could go to Hillary's firm, and millions of dollars were funneled through her law firm. Madison Guarantee Savings and Loan is just one example. According to James McDougal, early one morning, about 9 years ago, he answered a knock at his office door, and he found a winded and sweating Bill Clinton dressed for a jog on the steps. Clinton was then struggling to retire campaign debts for his gubernatorial run and to make ends meet on his $35,000 salary. The governor expressed concerns about his family's financial condition. He told McDougal things were tight and asked him to send some business to Hillary through her law firm. Quote, "I asked Clinton how much he needed," says McDougal, unquote, and Clinton said, quote, "about $2,000 a month," unquote. Later that day, McDougal directed an executive at Madison to immediately put Hillary Clinton of the Rose Law Firm on retainer for that amount. Quote, I hired Hillary Clinton because Bill came in whimpering that he needed help, said McDougal. The bank said he had no specific legal work in mind when he hired Hillary, unquote. McDougal said he recalled the event vividly because he was so uncomfortable during the meeting, not over the retainer issue, but because throughout the conference, Clinton sat sweating at McDougal's new leather desk chair, an expensive gift from his wife. Ain't being rich tough, folks? The house that Hillary built. It was Hillary who built the first model home in Whitewater. Although the land was already mortgaged by Whitewater through the Citizens Bank of Flippin, Hillary took out a $30,000 personal loan from the Bank of Kingston, also controlled by McDougal, putting nothing down. McDougal couldn't borrow the money because, being an owner of the bank, it would arouse suspicions among the regulators. Whitewater Development Corporation could not borrow the money itself because its only asset, the land, was pledged as collateral for the current loans. But Hillary, oh yes, Hillary was able to get the loan and pledge it to Whitewater, which then paid the interest and the principal. The banking commissioner in Arkansas has said this loan violated state laws, and probably federal laws as well, although Whitewater was paying the loan off, and Hillary had never paid Whitewater for the lot. She built the model home and then sold it at least twice, folks. She sold this thing twice. One source suggests more. Whitewater essentially gave her the property. She paid no taxes on this gift, but she did take the interest payments off on her income tax to the tune of $5,133. The Clintons claimed this was a mistake, but since the statute of limitations is long past, Billary say they are not required to pay it. And why am I talking about all these taxes that they paid or didn't pay? Simply, folks, they have declared that they are taxpayers, and since they volunteered, they're obligated to pay it. At one point, she appears to have sold the property 2 days before she had bought it back from the last sale. Investigators haven't been able to track the profits on these sales. Oh, no. You see, the records were lost. You try that. The sales were done on unrecorded contracts. Not only were the records lost, but the contracts were unrecorded. The deeds were not recorded with the courthouse, and the deeds have disappeared. So there's no place regulators can go to get a reliable record of the transactions. All we have is the Clintons' word. And try selling that property today. It's a title company's nightmare. Try to get title insurance on something that's been through that kind of a mill. Some pieces of property being sold two or three or four times. Madison guarantees fast and loose loans to Bill Clinton and his cronies could never have gone on as long as they did without Hillary. The bank examiners got on to Madison as early as 1984. They discovered the insider loans to Clinton's and his political cronies, as well as family and friends of McDougal. In fact, a 1996 report by the Federal Home Loan Board painted a grim picture of Madison's prospects. It detailed what it said were widespread abuses by the thrift and risky land deals for which the economic justification is questionable. The viability of the institution is jeopardized through the institution's current investment and lending practices in real estate development projects. Oh, these bureaucrats can sure come up with words, can't they? But Bill and Hillary used their political leverage to keep the state regulators away, and it wasn't until 4 years after the first signs of impending collapse that state regulators closed the operation finally. At a loss, dear listeners, to taxpayers of $47 to $68 million, and since everything's missing, that's a guess. Hillary represented Madison through her law firm. It was her firm that presented a rosy picture of the savings and loans prospects to the regulators. She then put together a bailout plan. It was a stock offering to bring in millions of new suckers, dollars, and recapitalize the savings and loan. They were looking for sheeple. Billary's plan was reviewed by Securities Commissioner Barbara Bassett Schaefer, a Clinton appointee. Mrs. Schaefer had been on the job for 3 months. Before her appointment, she had been an attorney at a firm that represented Madison. She'd even done a small amount of legal work herself for the SNL. McDougal says she was his choice to fill the spot. They were trolling for sheeple, and the sheeple were biting. Despite Madison's terrible financial condition, Mrs. Schaefer approved Hillary's plans. Fortunately, it never went through. Madison could not come up with the capital to get it past the feds. Otherwise, thanks to Hillary, Madison could have lost millions more. It was at this time that Mrs. Clinton apparently also became involved with bank examiner Sarah J. Worsham. Mrs. Worsham had written a devastating report on Madison that could have shut the thrift down. In her January 1984 report to the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, she said Madison had engaged in, quote, unsound lending practices, unquote, and had improperly booked profits. What an understatement. With a report like this, she could have shut Madison down, but she didn't. Oh, no. According to the Washington Times, within months of the report, Madison hired Mrs. Worsham under her maiden name of Hawkins as a senior vice president at $65,000 a year. In addition, she got a $5,000 unsecured loan, a $500 a month expense account, and yearly bonuses of $2,000, plus, dear sheeple, a Rolls-Royce Bentley sedan to just tool around town and cruise down to the Sonic Drive-In in my Rolls. Yes, sir. And Bill Clinton says, enough of this whitewater stuff. It's taking me away from the important business of running the nation. Don't you mean ripping off the nation, Bill? Just like you ripped off Arkansas? Don't you mean destroying the nation, destroying the presidency, destroying the credibility of constitutional government? Don't you mean, Bill, destroying the faith of Americans in constitutional government, in freedom? Isn't that what you really mean, Bill? When regulators finally closed Madison in 1989, the Resolution Trust Corporation, the federal agency responsible for cleaning up the savings and loan scams of the 80s, took over the mess. The RTC sued Frost & Company, the Madison accounting firm, for negligence in conducting its audits. One of Hillary's partners, Vince Foster, yes, the Vince Foster folks, solicited the case from the RTC. But he failed to disclose Hillary's representation of Madison. He even submitted a letter to the regulators saying the law firm didn't represent thrifts. The law firm didn't represent thrifts. The law firm didn't represent thrifts. And Hillary Clinton says she don't know nothing about no SNLs, A clear conflict of interest. But Hillary's law firm got the case. Hillary's law firm got the case. A third partner, Webster Hubble, handled the case along with Hillary. The government sought up to $60 million in its suit. Hillary's law firm settled the case for $1 million, $2 million less than the limit of Frost's insurance coverage, so it cost Frost and Company nothing. This was after Hillary had been on retainer to Madison for many months. In addition, Hubble's father-in-law, Seth Ward, was an officer of a Madison real estate subsidiary at the time they agreed to handle the case. Much of this was dug up by Nick. Where am I? Ward was a director of Madison and approved many of the loans to Clinton cronies. He was also the recipient of a $600,000 loan from Madison, which was still owed at the time Madison was closed. The RTC considered his loan one of the worst examples of abuse at the savings and loan, but Hillary personally got the government to forgive it. Hillary got the government to forgive it. Hillary's law firm received $400,000 from the government for handling this case. The government, which was seeking up to $60 million, essentially got nothing. Out of the $1 million settlement, $400,000 went to Hillary's law firm, and a $600,000 loan to Seth Ward was forgiven. Oh, ain't socialism great, folks? Don't you just love it? Wish Karl Marx was here. He'd be rolling on the floor, laughing, holding his belly. Hubble, the partner who handled most of the Frost suit, was later appointed by Bill Clinton as the number three person in the Justice Department. Justice. Justice. Just us. Just us. And we ain't included in that us, folks. Questions about Hillary's conflicts of interest don't stop at her work with the Rose Law Firm, for she has been caught red-handed in what clearly seems to be an insider trading scheme. As we all know, Hillary is so concerned about mankind and sick people, all socialists are, they want to help the poor, the sick, the bleeding, the homeless, that without any direct compensation or reward, she has given her very valuable time to fix the health care system in America. Wonder how many of her cronies will benefit from that. As head of the Health Task Force, Hillary made crucial decisions about the future of health care in America. The plan was developed secretly because Hillary couldn't have made her backroom deals if it was public. The Clintons are still resisting making the Health Task Force documents public, especially the documents that reveal conflicts of interest among task members. Now, it turns out that while heading this task force, Hillary was part of a partnership that made its profits selling health stocks short. In other words, folks, capitalizing on downward moves in the stocks. Hillary had as much as $100,000 in a hedge fund called Value Partners One, which is based in Little Rock. Evidently, she was impressed when she read about Ivan Boesky. Most funds with short-selling strategies were hammered in 93 because of the stock market boom, but stocks in the healthcare fields plunged dramatically. The total value of stocks in pharmaceuticals, medical hardware, biotech, and health insurance fell $200 billion. That's billion with a B. Largely as a result of Hillary's healthcare plans. Let me say that again, folks. Stock in pharmaceuticals, medical hardware, biotech, health insurance, nursing homes, etc. fell $200 billion, largely as a result of Hillary's health care plans, and she had sold these stocks short. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know many of you probably don't, but some of you do. Hillary's statements about health care directly affected the prices of these stocks on a daily basis. Now, do you really think she didn't know this? She was an attorney with 15 years legal experience. She played the stock market. She knew the impact her statements would have on the market. And there she was, investing on the swings her press releases caused, selling health care stock short. Although the press has been careful to talk in terms like conflict of interest, it's a clear case of insider trading. It's a felony. The White House isn't denying Hillary had a conflict of interest. They just say the conflict of interest statutes don't apply to Hillary. Her finances are commingled with bills, and as president, he is exempt from those laws. They don't call him Slick Willie for nothing. The only formal legal opinion on the subject, drafted in the 80s, declared that the conflict laws don't apply to wives of presidents because spouses aren't federal employees. Now, that might seem to get Hillary off the hook, but it doesn't. You see, when she was heading the task force, there was a lawsuit demanding that the meetings be opened to the public. The Federal Advisory Committee Act says such meetings can be closed only if attended by full-time employees of the government. As an employee, she had to be paid. How much was she paid, and where is the evidence? The lawsuit was resolved, determining that Hillary was indeed a full-time government employee, and the public was told that she was a volunteer. So Hillary is not exempt. Her own testimony, she says, she was an employee of the government. Therefore, she was in a conflict of interest. But that's not even the main point. Hillary Clinton manipulated share prices and traded on those manipulations. On Wall Street, you'd go to jail for that. On Capitol Hill, it ought to be the same. Madison Guarantee was not the only institution that Hillary and Bill Clinton and his cronies looted. Capital Management Corporation, which issued Small Business Administration loans, was another prime target. David Hale, a municipal judge who was appointed by Bill Clinton, made the loans. According to Hale, Bill Clinton directly pressured him to make SBA loans for $300,000 to Mrs. McDougal, his partner's wife. Clinton also probably pressured Hale to loan $1 million to Guy Tucker, the present governor of Arkansas. And here we go again. One more time on the merry-go-round, folks. These loans were supposed to go to socially disadvantaged businesses. Instead, they went to the multi-millionaire wife of Clinton's business partner and Clinton's lieutenant governor. At least $110,000 of Mrs. McDougal's SBA loan went into Whitewater. Clinton's spokesman, James Lynch, now says that was a private loan from Mrs. McDougal to Whitewater. And that, to suggest there was any impropriety, is ridiculous. But even Jim McDougal admits the SBA loans to his wife were a scam. David Hale was the official who made these SBA loans. He says they all knew he was submitting fraudulent financial statements. He says Clinton and McDougal told him the loan was made out in Mrs. McDougal's name only because she was a woman and would therefore qualify as a minority. Folks, if women are a minority, what's going to happen to the future of the human race? Where do they get this bullshit from? And they're wheeling it around in wheelbarrows and dropping it out of the sky. Hale says he never even met Mrs. McDougal until she came to sign the papers and pick up the check. Mrs. McDougal, who is now under indictment for cashing $150,000 worth of stolen checks, claims to know nothing of the loan. Women are minorities. No wonder these Aryans are so upset thinking their race is going to become extinct. They can't find any women. They're minorities. All this baffles me, folks. What do I know? I'm just a crazy conspiracy nut. I'm paranoid. Oh, let me see. I wish my friend was here, the one that sent me the tapes. This is one of those nights I'd like to go off and sit on a mountain and talk to him. Indeed, Hale says, McDougal told him the $300,000 would not be used by the designated borrower, Mrs. McDougal. Instead, he said it would conceal questionable transactions by Madison, including help for the Clintons. Hale says Clinton met twice with him about the loan, once telling him the Clinton name could not be associated with the deal anywhere in this, anywhere at all. He also said all three, McDougal, Clinton, and he, knew Mrs. McDougal did not legally qualify for the SBA loan. 3 months earlier, the McDougals had filed a financial statement showing assets of $3.1 million and net worth of $2.2 million. Quote, I knew what was going on, as we all did, Hale said, but we were friends, and that's just the way business is done in Arkansas, unquote. And guess what, dear sheeple? Of course, the money was never, ever paid back, even though Mrs. McDougal is a millionaire. Hale is now up for criminal prosecution. He says Clinton pressured him to make the fraudulent loans. U.S. Attorney Fletcher Jackson, who oversaw Hale's indictment, refused to conduct an investigation or even listen to Hale about Clinton's involvement. Hale says Jackson told him he didn't want to know anything about Clinton or Tucker because he had 8 years to retirement and was not looking to do anything to jeopardize it, unquote. Jackson later confirmed this conversation. As with Whitewater and Madison Guarantee, it was real estate that allowed Clinton and his friends to loot the SBA. You see, Whitewater was only one of the land scams invented to loot the savings and loans and banks, and not just in Arkansas, but all over the nation. Clinton appears to have connections to several such deals that involved millions in loans from Madison Guarantee and Capital Management Corporation, which issued the SBA guaranteed loans. In Texas, a man by the name of George Green was pulling the same scams in Texas as Clinton was pulling in Arkansas. And when they started to tie the hangman's noose to hoist George Green up by the nearest tree, he fled Texas and started publishing the Phoenix Journals. Oh, poor sheeple. Poor, poor sheeple. You're in big trouble and you don't even know that you're in trouble. By this time, Bill Clinton's name was no longer appearing on documents, but although his name does not appear on any of the later real estate deals, the owners that are named are the very same good old boys that appear over and over and over in all the Clinton scandals throughout the years. One such property was Castle Grande, a 1,100-acre swamp, which was proposed to become a trailer park. I thought you all learned your lessons in Florida. It was owned by Jim Guy Tucker, who succeeded Clinton as governor, Steve Smith, Clinton's former aide, Seth Ward, father-in-law of one of Hillary's law partners, and other powerful Arkansas political and business figures. Like Whitewater, the project showed a loss on paper. Like Whitewater, it was financed with loans far surpassing the value of the property. Like Whitewater, Castle Grande was plagued by questionable agreements involving prominent Arkansas political figures. It finally went under with more than $3 million in loans paid for by the American taxpayer. Who, by the way, doesn't even have to pay those taxes at all. Hi, Chihuahua. Castle Grande and related projects, including South Loop Construction, a 30-acre parcel for a shopping center next to Castle Grande, and Castle Sewer and Water, which was to provide some utility services to the development, borrowed millions from Madison and the SBA. The original property was purchased by Tucker, Smith, and Ward for $125,000. Tucker borrowed $260,000 from Madison to pay for it and diverted the rest of the money to other projects. Ward borrowed $600,000 from Madison to invest in the project, which he later defaulted on and which Hillary arranged to have forgiven when she was representing the government. Yes, sir. When she was representing the government. 2 years later, a company then controlled by Tucker, South Loop Construction, purchased the property, this time for $353,000. Did you get that? Tucker is selling the property from one of his companies to another. The additional money for the purchase came from David Hale's Capital Management Corporation, which issued a $150,000 SBA loan. Tucker never repaid the SBA loan. Last spring, however, when bank regulators started turning the heat on under Madison, he rushed out and paid the original $260,000 loan. He got scared. In addition, Tucker purchased Castle Water and Sewer Corporation from Madison's real estate subsidiary. Madison financed the Tucker purchase with a $1,050,000 mortgage. Hale's company put in an additional $150,000 SBA loan. A year later, only 1 year later, Castle Grande stalled with only a few home lots that were ever sold, and there never was any marketing done. One bank examiner called the Castle Grande property quote, low and swampy, unquote, and said it, quote, could not be developed without considerable cost. There is no evidence that there is a viable market for this land, unquote. Today, the land is littered with old armchairs and carpet. There's nothing to show for the millions looted from Madison and the Small Business Administration. Bank regulators have found a trail of shell corporations, fictitious transactions, exactly like George Green did in Texas and others did in other states across the nation. They're all the same scams, all run from the headquarters of the Central Intelligence Agency in Langley, Virginia. What for? Why, to buy arms, for which to pay for drugs with which to bring down the United States of America. That's what for. Shell corporations, fictitious transactions, inflated profit statements, and questionable payments to insiders, including Bill Clinton. Castle Grande is now included in a list of projects involving possible criminal conduct that's being presented before a special grand jury convened in Little Rock. George Bush's boys were involved in all of this also. But it was the political connections in the Castle Grande project financed by Madison that finally led the Justice Department to take control of what had been treated previously as a routine local investment. By this time, McDougal had been ousted from Madison by regulators, but his slot was quickly filled by another good old boy, Steve Kuffman, one of Tucker's former law associates. And Kuffman promptly forgave half of Tucker's $1,050,000 debt. The deal resulted in one of Madison's largest losses. William Seidman, former chairman of the FDIC, said the Castle Grande deal mirrored the type of risky ventures that helped bring many SNLs down during the mid-1980s. Quote, it has all the connotations of those things, Seidman said. On its face, you would say the transaction looks like not a real transaction, unquote. Why don't you just say it? Why don't you just say it, Seidman? They're crooks. And it was a scam. Another project, Campobello, shades of Eleanor Roosevelt, shades of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Another well-known socialist. Another project, Campobello, was to develop 343 acres in West Little Rock and 3,900 acres on Campobello Island off the shores of Nova Scotia, Canada. This one was run by James McDougal, owner of Madison Guarantee, and Chris Wade, the real estate agent who was involved in Whitewater. This project went bust just like the others, same players, same scam, same disappearing records, disappearing money, disappearing deeds, disappearing everything. One of Madison's lawyers, Beverly Bassett, from Mitchell Law Firm, was key to seeking approval for Campobello from the State Securities Department. Interestingly enough, Jim Guy Tucker was a senior partner at the same law firm. And this project ultimately became Madison's biggest loser with $3.7 million in loans outstanding. This is how savings and loan after savings and loan has been looted around the country. And it's not because all of these people in different states and different cities all thought of the same plan at the same time. It's because it was orchestrated. It starts out with a piece of marginal property. The insiders bid it up rapidly in sham sales and then use it as collateral for huge loans. Anything of real value is sold off. All the money is missing and no one knows where it went. The project goes broke, leaving huge loan indebtedness against it, paid for by the taxpayers. As with Whitewater, the Castle Grande and Campobello land losses were terrible, despicable, but they are not the major issue here. It is the fraudulently obtained loans, particularly those that were never repaid. It's the disappearing money. Clinton's cronies used these land schemes to make millions and take millions from Madison Guarantee. They took millions from the SBA through Capital Management Corporation, owned by David Hale. Almost none of that money was ever repaid. It was stolen, pure and simple. Federal authorities are investigating Clinton's involvement in these loans. The April 3, 1986 SBA loan by Capital Management for $300,000 to Mrs. McDougal, routed to her company, Master Marketing. $110,000 of this money is believed to have been routed into Whitewater. The loan was never repaid. and we'll talk about the rest of these loans and drugs in Mena, Arkansas, and many other things tomorrow night. Good night. God bless you. And God save the Republic. Thank you.